myself to flights of fancy to see what's around the next bend. I've given myself to things that are broken to put them together again. I've given up hope and I've given my best. It all depends on the day. I've given up so many things that I wanted, and still the sun rises each day. Some measure life by their losses and gains. For them there is never enough. But I measure life by the hearts I have known. For I've given myself to love. I've given the money I had in my pocket to someone in obvious need. I've given myself to the kindness of strangers, and I've given thanks for good deeds. I've given solace and I've given comfort. I've given a hand to a friend. I've given myself to the things I believe, though sometimes I don't know to what end. Some measure life by their losses and gains. For them there is never enough. But I measure life by the hearts I have known. For I've given myself to love. Some people say that they have no regrets. Life's just a roll of the dice. But I say if you live life paying attention, you see that each choice has a price. I've given some people more than they bargained, and others still cause for concern. I've given myself to the fire of passion, and I have been willingly burned. And just when it seems that the story is over, and all that remains is goodbye, there is one thing of which you can be certain. I'll always give love one more try. Some measure life by their losses and gains. For them there is never enough. But I measure life by the hearts I have known. For I've given myself to love. Yes, I measure life by the hearts I have known, for I've given myself to love.
Thank you for welcoming me here today. I'm Joe Jenks. I live in DeKalb, Illinois, sort of a temporary home for me, so I assume. You never know. But it's a pleasure to be back here and to share and worship with this congregation. As Reverend Karen and I were talking about the idea of what we wanted to share collectively together with you today, this idea of joy and sorrow emerged as walking hand in hand, and the words of Khalil Gibran spoke very deeply to me. They have for many years. I didn't really understand until recently that Khalil Gibran was walking very solidly in the tradition of Rumi and Hafez, the Sufi mystical poets, and that his style of writing in many of his works was an homage to their writing style. That song that I just sang was inspired by a poem called The Love Window. And in various bits of Rumi's writing, he speaks to the idea that our relationship is not with a particular person so much as it is with love, with a capital L, love as a stand-in for the divine, for the holy, for the unknowable. And that as we travel through our lives, as we go on our journey, it's very easy for us to get so attached to one relationship, to one person, to one place, to one community, that when there's a change in that relationship, when someone passes, when someone moves, when we move, when a community comes to a natural conclusion, there is a sense that we have lost our relationship with love. But Rumi reminds us that, in fact, each one of these individuals, each one of these relationships is a window through which we look into the divine, through which we look into love itself. And so if we hold the idea that the eternal relationship is with love as an idea, as a concept, as a verb, as an action, as a thing that we participate in and do, then a change in the nature of things around us does not cut us off from love, but it does require us to get proactive and build new relationships, because it's our job to keep opening those windows into love everywhere we go. And that was never tested more deeply for me than when a little over 18 months ago, the last time I was here, in fact, the very week that I was here in this congregation, I found out that a 20-year relationship was coming to an end. And it forced me to dig very deeply into a lot of good ideas that I had assimilated over the years. But, you know, it's all theory until you're required to put it into practice. And the universe called on me to put into practice many lofty ideas that I had written about as a poet and songwriter and shared from many stages and pulpits with, you know, great sincerity. And then I realized, oh, right. Good ideas. Now, what do they mean? And I thought about the idea of surrender, such an extraordinarily difficult idea, but the idea of surrender. I will tell you that self-employment has taught me a great deal more about faith than Sunday school ever did. It has taught me how to surrender into the unknown. It has taught me how to have faith in the idea that I cannot control the outcome. All I can control is my effort. All I can control is the energy that I put into a thing, and trust that consistent energy will yield consistent outcome. I don't know what the outcome will be. I just know that there will be consistent outcome if I apply consistent energy. And sometimes I think our relationships are the same way. We can't know what the outcome will be. But we know if we pursue our relationships with love and integrity, with conscientiousness, with compassion, with tenderness, that there will be an outcome. Dan Savage, the relationship columnist, wrote something that became very meaningful to me 18 months ago. He said, it's very important in our society that we find a way of defining marriage as successful even when it doesn't end in death. Yeah, I had to read that sentence a few times and chew on it a little bit. It's important to be able to define a marriage as successful even when it doesn't end in death. The idea that a marriage or a relationship or a partnership, the relationship of one community to another or an individual to a community, can be successful even when it ends. That sometimes a thing has run its natural course, and yet you look at the fruit of that community, of that relationship, and something has blossomed, something has grown, something has taken roots that will endure beyond that relationship. I was very moved by those words and by that idea. And so that song, I've Given Myself to Love, was in response to a Kate Wolf song, Give Yourself to Love. Many of you know that song. It was sung at my wedding. And on the bookend, on the way back out, I thought of this idea. I have given myself to love. It was my answer to that song. And acknowledging, as Rumi invited me to do so about 700 years before I was born, he invited me to consider that my relationship is with love itself. And every action I take, every word I speak, every deed I do, every thought that is in my head or in my heart, every feeling that guides me to being a more compassionate person in the world, to being a more tender and gentle and vulnerable person, to surrendering the illusion of my control, surrendering it into love, is an action that affirms that everlasting relationship with love itself. I hand this over to Karen now.
I'm not sure what I can add to that. I have all these notes, but you know, they don't. What he said. So many of you know that Joe and I have this thing in common, that I have a relationship of 20 years that ended a year ago, and that this year has been a year of figuring out what I do now. Figuring out how to let that bowl that has been widened by sorrow that Khalil Gibran talks about, how to let that bowl that has been widened and widened and widened into a capacity that I didn't know was possible, how to fill that with love again. I'm still working on that. I don't have the answer. But what happens when two theologians sit down and talk over a beer, after we're done crying about lost relationships, we start thinking about what it means and about how we are connected and how we are connected to love and in love. The classic universalism of the 1800s, which is our heritage, and this is not in these notes, this is what you inspire here, the classic universalism of the 1800s that is our heritage told us that God loved us no matter what. And whether or not we believe in a God that loves us, this capital L love is such a bigger idea than what I think about when I think about this relationship that ended, or even when I think about what we are building here in this amazing community. It's a piece of it. It's a piece of it. But this idea that our relationships are windows into that bigger love, and that people will come and go, and that surroundings will come and go, just like the seasons change, it's nurturing somehow. My divorce caused a crisis of faith for me. Because I believe that what arises within and between us when we are in holy relationship together is God. And if I can be hurt and betrayed in the way that I was, where is God in that? Where is the holy in that? And what I've realized is that my vision of love and my vision of God is simply too small. Because of these conversations, because of this idea that every relationship is a window into that big L, love. So for me to give myself to love, as you sing, giving myself to the things I believe, though sometimes I don't know to what end. To give myself to love means to go ahead and dive in anyway. It means to realize that there is so much more love out there. To realize that I am not alone None of us are alone. I preach that just like Joe says, you know, these great inspirational words that we've been talking about for years and years and years. I preach this every week. We are not alone. Having the walls crumble and having to figure out even where they've landed, much less how to build them back up, helps me realize that I'm not alone, because so many people and so many moments and so many experiences and so many ways of getting in touch with love presented themselves in the last year. For me, the pieces of that are being able to sit with what's happening. Sit in the present, even when it's hard. Even when you feel alone, even when I feel alone. Letting myself be vulnerable and open to the possibilities of what's offered to me, and being grateful for that. All are windows for me. I'm learning into this big L love. And asking for help. And receiving help when it's offered. The humbling experience of the grace of being loaned a car or being taken out for ice cream or the phone call at midnight just to check in and see how one is doing, and knowing that I can call anybody, not anybody, knowing that I can reach out and make that call as well. All windows into that bigger love. Yeah. I'm out of words. Thank you, Joe.
Part of the reason that I'm with you this weekend is because I was really not entirely present in my own body and consciousness the last time I was here. And this congregation had kindly invited me to come give a concert and to deliver a service. And I felt like I wasn't really here, so I can't tell you whether I delivered a service for you or not. I was walking through so much personally, so I asked Karen if I could come back and share some time with you when I was fully present in my own life and in my own world. And, you know, these changes that we have gone through and spoken about at length mirror changes that we go through throughout our lives, you know. The Buddhists have been trying to tell us this with a certain eloquence, you know, for the better part of 3,000 years. This idea that things grow and blossom and evolve and transform into other things. That the idea of placing our sense of self, our sense of identity, in a static moment in time is absolutely our undoing. Because there is no way that we can be ourselves in the present moment and be attached to yesterday. We can remember yesterday with fondness, but we still have to be in the present moment. And it's a lot harder than it sounds. It sounds so simple and so easy when we read books by Pema Chodron and Thich Nhat Hanh and these great interpreters of Buddhism to the West. But indeed, being present in the moment is a very difficult thing. And when we get panicked, it's equally easy to disappear, to bolt, to jump. And several years ago, I was swimming in the Klamath River in Northern California. And I used to be a Red Cross certified lifeguard and fancied myself to be a strong swimmer. And so I set out with certain confidence, a certain strident movement into the water and swimming across. And then about two-thirds of the way across a wide, fast-moving mountain river, as I got to the outside of a turn, as you all know, the outside of a turn in a river is the deepest and fastest-moving portion, my arms started to give out, and they started to freeze up. and I started to panic and suck water into my lungs. And then I was below the water looking at sunlight through the water and through the foam. And time began to accordion outward in the way that it does when one is filled with adrenaline and panic. And minutes worth of thought process happened in moments. I looked up toward the sunlight and was waiting to hear my name called. I was waiting for this moment where they talk about follow the light, you know, and waiting for the great dispatcher from the unknown to give me my next assignment. It didn't happen. Then I thought, oh, right, God knows I'm a Unitarian, so that's probably not going to go the way I was taught when I was a kid, you know. Then I thought, well, maybe I'll just have this flash of imagery, like they do in the movies, you know, just all these rapid-fire images, and come to some transcendent understanding of what my life is all about and why it's ending now. That didn't happen either. I was starting to get disappointed. And then I had this moment. I had this vision. I saw the headline that would appear the next day in the Arcata newspaper as it read, "Obscure folk singer dies in freak river accident." That was my moment. We all have a moment. We got to seize it, like the chairlift that's going up the hill. You know, like sometimes you got to get on or you're not going to ski back down. And I grabbed that thought. And that was the idea that gave me the energy to push my head back above the surface of the water and literally with my last breath cry out for help. To my eternal benefit, there was a woman on a retreat that week who was a current Red Cross certified lifeguard. And she dove in the water with me. But she didn't do the things that I thought she would. I was running all the Red Cross moves in my head that I'd been taught when I was younger and working at the YMCA and none of that. She just started to tread water, and she invited me to place my hands on her shoulders, and she told me to take a deep breath. Yeah, try one of those deep breaths. Always good to breathe. She told me to keep breathing and keep breathing. As she saw the color return to my cheeks and the panic leave my eyes, she surprised me yet again and said, "Okay, let's keep swimming." What? I was very disappointed again. I thought she was there to save me. But we swam across the river. We finished the swim and we walked back upstream and we caught our breath and stretched a little bit. And then we swam all the way back across together. And I realized that in these moments of transition, in these moments of endings and new beginnings, in these places of struggle, the reason we gather in community is because as a community, we have the opportunity to sustain each other through all of these openings and closings of the love window. We have an opportunity to rest in the shelter of each other, to give each other this immense gift of treading water for another so that they can place their hands on our shoulders. And when another says, "Can I help you with that?" we learn to say, "Yes, thank you. I don't know what you can do to help, but I'll take it. Thank you." We learn to say yes when people offer a hand. That's the great gift we give each other when we gather in community, is to remind each other that we are not swimming alone. That we don't have to open and close these love windows all by ourselves, that we gather here to find strength in the presence and shelter of each other. So as we sing this song together, a song yet again that you do not know, but you will soon enough, I invite you to hold in your heart those that are swimming with you every day, maybe those that need a little bit of your support, or those from whom you would like a little support. Those people that remind us every day to take a deep breath, to let go of our panic, and to keep on swimming.
me on this journey. With every breath we take, keep reaching for the dawn. I know alone, and I will falter. With a good friend near me, I will carry on.
That's your part next time.
I know safety is at last within my reach. Will you come with me? Will you come with me on this journey? On this journey with every breath. With every breath we take, keep reaching for the dawn. I know alone I will falter. I will falter. With a good friend near me, I will carry on. It's an illusion we carry with us as we wade on through the waters of our lives. And we must be strong and hold our own here. But a helping hand will save us by and by. Will you come with me? Will you come with me on this journey? On this journey with every breath. With every breath we take, keep reaching for the dawn. I know alone I will falter. I will falter. With a good friend near me, I will carry on. Now you know, and sing it one more time. Will you come with me on this journey? With every breath we take, keep reaching for. I know alone I will falter. With a good friend near me, I will carry on. I know alone I will falter. With a good friend near me, I will carry on. With a good friend near me,
it be so.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Karen. As part of this congregation's mission to be of service to our community, we give half of the uncommitted Sunday offerings to local organizations whose work furthers our mission. This morning, our Share the Plate donations will go to Centro Hispano, a local organization that supports immigrant families.
Melody and all it can do with love and words. I used to admire most a poet who, with a pen, untangled this world into verse. I used to admire all that I thought profound, plagiarize the prophets and the saints. Now that I'm older, oh, it's mercy that I admire most. beautiful spectacle, an iron snake and brown coliseums. I moshed in the drench, under fame's soft fist clenched, and I paid hard-earned money just to see him. Oh, but now, now that I'm older, oh, it's mercy that I admire most. I admire the pure of heart that will one thing. I admire the steady in their routine. I admire decision and the mind that endures it, and those who speak though they be shamed. I admire the reckless voices for the voiceless, and the man standing path of tanks. Oh, but now, now that I'm older, oh, it's mercy that I admire most. Oh, it's mercy.